Today's Mass invites us to think about the question, what does it mean to live by faith? In that reading from Habakkuk, we heard these words, the righteous will live by faith. And in the Gospel, the apostles say to our Lord, Lord, increase our faith. So what is faith? Faith enables us to believe all that God has revealed to us in the Bible about our relationship with Him, our relationship to His church, with one another, and the world in which we live. Yet there is a tension I think every single one of us faces, and that is the following. While we want to live by faith, often our souls can be gripped and governed by fear. Now think about this. When we live in fear, faith can be smothered and even extinguished. We can come to believe that God is not with us. We can have a sense of our own failure, weakness, and inadequacy because of our sinfulness at times. And we can have just such a heavy heart that we have a deep and profound sense of God's absence. And one of the things that can happen when this occurs is that we can look at the world and we can be very negative, very critical, very discouraged. And this is something I think as Catholics we have to challenge ourselves against. As a pastor, I get to hear all sorts of people tell me all sorts of things. And I am concerned when I hear people of faith speak about the world in negative ways that just sound so despairing, as if it's hopeless. We need to underscore something that is at the heart of our readings today. Each and every day, we are faced with the following question. Will I choose to be governed by fear this day, or will I allow faith to govern how I live my life? Now, I came across the illustration of the African impala. Do you know that the impala can jump over 10 feet high and cover a distance of 30 feet? Yet if these magnificent creatures are kept in an enclosure with a wall that is higher than their ability to see over it, they won't even attempt it. They're afraid. They will not jump. Faith is the ability to trust, even if we can't quite see what is over the other side of the wall. Fear is allowing the wall to get higher and higher and higher and higher. And that potential that we all have because we've been baptized into the Catholic Church and into Jesus, that potential will dwindle and it could even die. That's what fear can do to us. And so we want to hear with the apostles and we want to pray with them, Lord, increase our faith. And conversely, Lord, decrease our fear. Now, let me leave with you today a saying that I want perhaps to be imparted in your heart and mine. Remember this, little faith will bring your soul to heaven, but great faith will bring heaven into your soul. Do you hear the difference? A little faith, yeah, eventually you can get to heaven. But if you have great faith now, heaven will come into your soul. And what I want for everyone at St. Peter's is I want this to be a community more and more where we have great faith, so that increasingly heaven is coming into our soul. And through this community, people are seeing a light, a community of hopefulness, a community of joy, a community of deep purpose. But in order for this to happen, we have to be aware of three dimensions of faith. Its exterior dimension, its posterior dimension, and its internal. External, posterior, and internal. In the reading from Habakkuk, we have an expression of faith's exterior dimension. As I alluded to at the beginning, we live in a world where there's a lot of bad news. But you know what? That's not new. It's not new at all. It's always been the way. There's never been a time in history when the news of the world is primarily good news. Well, all we need to do is read the headline in Habakkuk's day. Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. Where are you, God? Like this exterior world that I live in, it's so hard, it's so challenging, and it's not only what we hear in the news, it's like what's happening in my own life. People who deal with profound and deep struggles, like children who are born profoundly sick, and you hope they're going to live, and you love them, and you care for them, but then they die. Or people who come down with terrible diseases, or people who get a pink slip, or people who, because we live in this world, we can just be so overwhelmed. But listen to what Habakkuk does. He doesn't allow the Calgary Herald to be what's going to define him. He's not going to even allow for his own personal experience to be what primarily defines him. For he goes on to say, "For there is still a vision for the appointed time. It speaks to the end. It does not lie. If it seems to tarry, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay." In other words, what Habakkuk came to realize is that what has to be first in his headline is the good news of the gospel, the truth of God's revelation. And people who learn to live with this kind of centered reality are people of patience, are people of great courage, are people that truly inspire us because they have gone before us. And this brings me to the second dimension of faith. It is posterior. And one of the beautiful things about being a Catholic Christian is we have the example of men, women, children from every generation, from every century, right back to Jesus Christ. They're all behind us. They've all gone before us. And they are the people who took Jesus at his word. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed. Now think about this with me for a second. Think about the people to whom Jesus first spoke these words. It was to the apostles. There were 12 of them in the room. One of them was going to deny him. One was going to betray him. 10 of them were going to run away. And only one was going to be at the cross, St. John. How many of us are here at Mass today? About 500. There are about 700 here at 9:30. And by the time we get through to the end of 5 p.m. this afternoon, about 2,500 people will just have come to Mass here at St. Peter's. A mustard seed, it's really small. And what Jesus says, if you have faith that size, I can work with it. So my beloved St. Peter's family, I want to encourage you. More and more, this is going to be a community where we're going to be talking about something of very significant importance. I want us to understand we are not to be consumer Catholics, that we just come to get the sacrament on Sunday and then we go and do our thing. No, we're not called to be consumer Catholics, we're called to be committed Catholics. To be a committed Catholic means that Jesus Christ is the center of your life, that he is before everything and anyone else. And that's what the example of the saints so beautifully show us. They were not consumer Catholics. They put Jesus at the center. They put the church at the center. I'm so inspired by the example of Saint Thérèse of Lisieux, who died at the age of 24 in the year 1897. And Saint Thérèse wanted to be a martyr. She wanted to go to death for Jesus. But she spent her short life in a Carmelite convent. And she realized she was called to be a little flower. That little faith would have a way of expanding. And so she writes these beautiful, beautiful words. She says, "Jesus set the book of nature before me, and I saw all the flowers he had created. They were lovely." Look at our bouquet here. That's an example of what Saint Thérèse is getting at. "The splendor of the rose and the whiteness of the lily do not rob the little violet of its scent, nor the daisy of its simple charm. I realize that if every tiny flower wanted to be a rose, spring would lose its loveliness, and there would be no wildflowers to make the meadows gay." It's just the same, says Saint Thérèse, with the world of souls, which is the garden of Jesus. He has created the great saints who are like the lilies and the roses, but he's also created the much lesser saints, and they must be content to be the daisies and the violets, which rejoice his eyes whenever he glances down. Now listen to this. These are the words of a saint. Perfection consists of doing his will in being that which he wants us to be. And then she prays, Jesus, help me to simplify my life by learning what you want me to be and becoming that person. Isn't that beautiful? Lord, who do you want me to be? And help me to become that person. And that's why the posterior dimension of faith is so important, because we've had people who've prayed this prayer before and they've been able to live with that kind of purpose. So there's the exterior, there's the posterior, and thirdly, there is the interior. Because at the end of the day, for every single person here, it comes down ultimately to you and Jesus Christ. What is happening in our interior lives? How are we living in that most private place that no one else sees but Jesus and me? And these were Paul's words are so beautiful. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but a spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline. You see, my beloved family, the reality of the gospel of Jesus Christ is the following. It is not an easy way to live. It is the hardest way to live because it asks the most of you in this world. But it's the most amazing way to live. Because when we allow for Jesus to take that little bit of faith that we might have and say, Jesus, take it, use it. Wow. What do we receive? Not a spirit of cowardice, but of power, love, and self-discipline. Don't you want to live that way? Don't you want to live a purposeful, meaningful life that has behind you the saints, that helps you to see your exterior world not primarily through the lens of social media, but through the lens of the gospel? Don't you want to live a life where on the inside you are learning what this African child learned from his grandfather? The story is told of a native elder who described the interior battle to his grandson. My son, the battle is between two wolves. One is evil. It's characterized by anger, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, superiority, and ego. The other is good. It is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. And so the grandson asked, Grandpapa, which wolf wins? To which the old man replied, the one you feed. The one you feed. May we discover evermore how to feed the gift of faith, the good wolf, and starve the wolf of fear. In so doing, we will have the wisdom to grow in faith's exterior, posterior, and interior dimensions, so that although a little faith will bring you to heaven, great faith will bring heaven to our souls.